So if you've got an outline, now's a great time to take that out as we begin tonight's message. You know, in my lifetime, and probably for many of you as well, I have met less than a handful of people who really, really enjoy the process of change. Is there anyone here that loves change? My wife said no, and I think the rest of you agreed. Even the words change, even the word can spark nervousness. It can create anxiety and even fear, depending on the type of change. Change threatens to take us away from the familiar to the unfamiliar. It brings about instability and it messes with our schedules. Suddenly, the routine is no longer routine. Change requires us to reassess anything and everything that's impacted by that change. Greek philosopher Heraclitus said, change is the only constant. If there's anything in life we can depend on other than God, it's the fact that change will occur. Change is constant and it's a consistent part of our life. Benjamin Franklin took the constant of change quote even further by saying change is the only constant in life. One's ability to adapt to those changes will determine your success in life. Chances are very high for you here tonight and those of you watching online that you or someone close to you right now is facing into a significant change or challenge in their life that's impacting their journey. The change may be something quite clear, like a change in the status of employment, the birth of a new child, or in our case, a grandchild. You're moving, or you recently moved to a different home. You moved to a different state, a different country. Or the change might be something that's not so quite clear. You're searching for a full-time position after graduating from college, or you're out of high school and no longer do you want your journey to be about your education and part-time employment. You want your journey to move you toward independence, toward the steps to secure your own financial independence and leave the comfort and safety that's provided by your parents. We could spend the rest of the night outlining the list of possibilities just in this room, because change is constantly going on around us. In the study of the life of Paul so far, we've already seen Saul's life undergo a significant amount of change. Change is orchestrated by God to prepare him for ministry, and his journey set in motion by his one-on-one encounter with Jesus on that Damascus road that we studied. Well, Barnabas, after serving the church in Antioch, which was undergoing exponential growth, reached a point where he needed help. He knew it was beyond him. He needed someone he could partner with. And Barnabas knew exactly where he needed to go to find the person he needed, and that was Tarsus. Together, Paul and Barnabas, these two men of God, would make a powerful team. They would accomplish great things for God's kingdom, it says. In Acts 11:26, it tells us, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. In fact, around 6 years after Barnabas first brought Saul to Antioch, the church in Antioch grew large enough to have five men who were dividing leadership of this church. If you have your Bible or your Bible app on your phone or your tablet, open and turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. The amount of growth being experienced by the church in Antioch must have been mind-blowing. These followers of God were a model. This church was a model of health and effective witness, and it was growing tremendously. Luke designates these five leaders as prophets and teachers, with a basic distinction between prophets being those who receive direct revelation from God, and teachers, those who would interpret the prophet's revelation in addition to giving instruction on scriptures. Antioch Community Church was the place to be. Not only did they have incredible spiritual growth, the staff was a first century dream team of teachers, preachers, and prophets. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manon, and Saul. That's an excellent starting lineup. Each was gifted by God in different ways, set apart for the Lord's work. That's exactly what this new church, this growing church, needed. The right leaders, the right team to lay a strong foundation for the church. But little did he know, Saul was in for another significant change in his journey. God would call him and Barnabas to a new mission field, requiring them to leave the wildly successful church in Antioch and go on the road, beginning with what is commonly referred to as Paul's first missionary journey. Look at verses 2 and 3 of Acts 13. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. For after they've fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." Paul's first missionary journey with Barnabas was equally as successful as their ministry in Antioch. The ministry of the church at Antioch would see its impact for the kingdom of God through these two men extend over 700 land miles, over 500 sea miles, through their obedience to follow God's calling to change course. Scores of individuals would not only hear the gospel, but receive salvation. Churches would be planted. Lives would be changed. Other ministers of the gospel would be risen up in new towns and in new places. And those people would plant even more and more churches and spread the gospel further and further away. Instead of remaining where it was comfortable, staying with the familiar, staying where they were experiencing abundant success in Antioch Community Church, their journey would have them take the gospel to new territory, to establish new friendships, to face into new challenges. Their journey would turn to the unfamiliar instead of remaining with the familiar. This would be the first of three journeys Scripture records Paul undertakes during his ministry. Luke's account in the book of Acts commences with this journey and also gives an account of the others. Within the narrative, Luke doesn't partition these. However, they're commonly divided for convenience of study. Take a look at the slide behind me, which summarizes Paul's three missionary journeys. I know it's a little small. He was a busy man. Given the Antioch church was the center of Gentile Christianity and the base for Gentile evangelism, then the Antioch church is considered home base. And each journey that Paul undertakes originates and ends from Antioch, as you can see, with the exception of his final journey. Paul's final journey concludes when he arrives in Caesarea. I know, we're finally at the point in study of Apostle Paul where everybody's been waiting for, what everybody thinks about Paul's missionary journeys. That's what people think about when they think about the great Apostle Paul. Paul's journeys would grow God's church even more exponentially, and the explosion of faith underway in Antioch was just a small sliver compared to Paul's impact outside of Antioch. It's also during these journeys where Paul would pen his letters that make up a significant portion of the New Testament. Paul's obedience, especially through times of change and uncertainty, not only impacted the early church, they impact us here today. Paul's life and obedience and ministry has left a lasting impact on every church and every Christian from the very beginning to this very moment. God will continue to use the fruits of Paul's life and ministry going forward in even greater ways. This leads us to the foundation, a key piece of understanding behind successful journeys in life and ministry. Successful journeys begin by following Christ. Let's read Acts 13, 2 and 3 again. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Successful journeys begin by following Christ. In these verses, we find the big five, the team of ministers leading the Antioch church in worship and prayer, and the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit reveals that Barnabas and Saul are set apart for work to which I've called them. The work to which they've been called likely refers to Saul's commission when he was divinely revealed about 13 years earlier in Damascus in Acts 9:15. When Saul was healed through Ananias after being blinded by his personal encounter with Jesus. What's remarkable about these verses is that the commission for the journey is marked by several significant actions, I feel, on behalf of the people involved. The first action I want to point out and bring attention to is that of prayer. While they were already worshiping the Lord and fasting, one or more of them, Scripture doesn't really say, but one or more of them, the Holy Spirit spoke to. And that led them to continue to fast and pray. Then in obedience, they placed their hands on Barnabas and Saul and took the important action step and sent them off. The church in Antioch was about to lose two-fifths, 40% of its powerhouse dream team by the simple calling. Significant changes would immediately follow everyone's journey. Yet as we know, looking back in hindsight, these changes would result in Paul leaving Antioch, where God was already using him, to accomplish even greater things. Being used to do even more on these missionary journeys than he would have ever done if he would have stayed in Antioch. While we've already captured the foundation for successful journeys in life and ministry, that is, successful journeys in life and ministry begin by following Christ. Saul of Tarsus started his successful journey when he gave his life to Christ, and he began immediately following him, never turning back. As I was reflecting on what we've already studied in the life and the ministry of Paul, it hit me we can draw from the scriptures and the studies that we've done and are coming, a number of additional essentials that contribute to successful journeys, especially those journeys which come out of change. Whether the change is something well known in advance or a change that occurs suddenly, whether it's significant or somewhat lesser of impact. And the first journey essential that I'd like to highlight we can draw from in our study of Paul is motivation. Without motivation, taking on a new journey in life can become grueling. It can become painful. Change becomes even more scary and more daunting without motivation. Without motivation, a new journey can zap all your joy. It can bring out bitterness and regret, even before the change has even arrived, even begun. Instead of engaging and embracing and managing through the change successfully, our time is focused on wishing to remain where we are, clinging to the good old days before the new journey begins. We talked about motivation behind Paul's ministry, if you were here, back on July 10th. I know it's going back for a number of weeks, but if you were here 7 weeks ago, you might remember this story I shared about a man named Charlie. A man who was called into ministry sharing his testimony with a church body that my professor was attending. A testimony that continues to reverberate in his heart as well as mine. Charlie began his testimony by uttering a single word. He said, "Wretched." Having grabbed the entire body in presence, especially my professor, Charlie continued. He said, "Wretched again. dirty, angry, dark, and sinful, he exclaimed. I was all of this and more, he continued. I guess unworthy describes best how I viewed God's calling me into ministry. Charlie would later go on to tell the group, I've never preached before. The truth is, I don't even own a Bible that's good looking. But one thing I do know is I've received God's grace. Charlie said, God has forgiven me and saved me. He saved my soul. And if God can save me and call me into ministry, he can save and call anyone. The Apostle Paul is referred to by many scholars and teachers as the Apostle of Grace. Having received God's grace himself, even and so, he considered himself the worst of all sinners, according to his own testimony in 1 Timothy 1. Paul was motivated to extend and share the same grace he received to everyone he would come in contact with. For Paul, God's grace was sufficient. God's grace was everything, and it overflowed his motivation gas tank to the point in which it would never run dry. Paul wrote this in 1 Timothy 1:12. I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to ministry. If you weren't here on July 10th, go back to our website. Watch or listen that message that's entitled Getting Back on Track. You'll hear more about Charlie's story and you'll learn more about how God was preparing Paul. Successful journeys begin by following Christ. And as we see from the words of the Apostle Paul, he was motivated by God's grace. Not only say yes to Jesus for salvation, Paul was motivated to give up everything to become a servant of Christ. A doulos, scripture records. A word that indicates the most abject, servile term used by Greeks to denote a slave. One who was bound to his master in cords so strong that only death could break them. One who served his master to the disregard of his own interests. One whose will was swallowed up in the will of the master. The question is this: so what motivates you in life? What motivates you in the ministry God has called you? The Apostle Paul shows us at least one important motivation that every follower of Christ can rest upon and draw strength from. Paul was living forever grateful for his appointment. We've all been given different lots in life. So different, the combinations are too exponential to even consider. We have different backgrounds. We have different upbringings, different educations, different family situations, different jobs, different responsibilities, different experiences, different challenges. Quite frankly, for the most part, we have different everythings. None of us is like the other because that's God's design. Each of us is uniquely and wonderfully made, Psalm 139:14 tells us, and we're created in the marvelous image of God, according to Genesis 1:27. Our circumstances and our situations give each one of us the experience and the opportunity to do the special work of God that only he or she has been appointed to do. God's appointment in your life is far-reaching, and it's all-encompassing. The family you were born into, it's not a coincidence. That's the family God appointed you into. Your career, your school, your home church, more God appointments. Your community, your neighbors, your friends, God appointments. Do you have children? They're an incredible blessing, and yes, given to you by God as appointments. Having the right motivation helps you successfully navigate changes in your life's journey. You're a parent. If you're a parent, when it gets hard and seemingly impossible, you can stay motivated to face another day and another challenge by living forever grateful for God's appointment of you to being a parent. I read a story online shared by Lisa Stevens from The Woodlands, Texas. My wife Shanda and my son Andrew here know this place well. We spent 7 years there just before moving to New Jersey. It's where my two kids were born. Lisa shares her story. She said, I was rushed to the emergency room with complications from my high-risk pregnancy. After weeks of mandated bed rest in the hospital, I found myself suffering from an unfamiliar sadness. One day, my nurse brought a surprise to my room, a newborn named James. James's mom, who also experienced a high-risk pregnancy, sent her precious, healthy son for me to hold, along with an encouraging message. This is the reason you're here in the hospital. 3 decades later, my heart is still full of gratitude for baby James and his son, and his mom. And I'm thankful for my own healthy son, Hunter. Lisa is living forever grateful for her appointment in parenthood. Change is inevitable. I don't know whether you're heading into a new journey or some journey that's already underway. The question for you is, are you spending your time longing for the good old days? If so, chances are you're struggling. Chances are you may be failing to notice any success that's there inside your new journey. Well, perhaps one essential you might consider that needs to be addressed or looked into is this area of motivation. It would have been difficult, if not right, downright impossible, for God to use Paul had Paul not been motivated or his motivation was pulling him in the wrong direction. This is especially true, as we will see in the future weeks, where Paul meets up with greater and greater opposition from the Jews. Greater persecution, imprisonment, attempts on his life, and even being stoned and left for dead. Paul was motivated by living forever grateful for his appointment. And I would submit that this same motivation can fuel my life's journey, your life's journey, if we focus on living that way. However complex, however messy it seems, we should be grateful for God's appointment, grateful for our lot in life, grateful for all we've been given, yes, the good, yes, the bad, yes, the ugly. Let's move on and look at another journey essential, which when in place will contribute greatly to the success of that journey. Another famous quote by Benjamin Franklin points to this essential. He says, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Our second journey essential calls attention to the importance of preparation. Chuck Swindoll wrote, each time we engage in a serious study of a great life, we need to embrace ourselves for surprises. Interestingly, the greater the life, the more shocking the surprises. You can count on it. The circumstances and events that led to greatness in that person took place in the hidden years, when few were looking and no one cared. In other words, the circumstances and events that led to greatness in that individual takes place within the essential, ongoing, continuing step of preparation. In Isaiah 64, verse 8, the writer refers to believers as clay. Clay which is being molded by the potter, who is God. We are the work of God's hands. He molds us. He shapes us. He prepares us for the work he's called us to do. The verse says, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Similar to the first journey essential, we've already seen and studied how God has been preparing Paul for his calling in the ministry to take the gospel message to the Gentile world. 12 years have passed since Paul's conversion by this point when they're sent out. But God had a plan for Paul, and within his perfect plan was this time frame of 12 years to continue to prepare him for this first journey. But in reality, his entire life's journey was all a part of God's preparation plan. When the foundation of stage for his ministry began, he had no idea exactly what would happen. No idea where following Jesus would take him, nor when his path would change from one journey to another. After his conversion, Saul would spend time in Damascus. Then he would spend time secluded in Arabia, where for 3 years he lived off the grid. After he returned to Damascus, Saul would then go back to Tarsus. And we talked earlier about Paul's time in Damascus, Arabia already in prior weeks, and Tarsus already. If you missed those nights or you want to refresh your memory, go back to our website and listen to those or watch them. Look for the titles Alone in Arabia or Return to Tarsus, July 24th and August 14th, respectively. And as we talked about tonight, he spent some time in Antioch as the church experienced exponential growth. If you want to refresh your memory, if you weren't here, you want to know more about how God prepared them, then go back and watch. In fact, start at the beginning, because all of that has been a part of what God has used to prepare Paul for his ministry. These messages help us understand, at least in part, some of the journey, some of the changes, some of the events that God has done when he's before this point where he's called to leave the church and go to the mission field. The great thing about this journey essential is it can and should be happening even with nothing going on. We can be preparing for rain. Have you ever heard that term? Prepare for rain. When I hear it, I'm reminded that I can always do something now to prepare for whatever change in life's future may happen. Last Sunday, my wife and I attended a wedding of a young couple. These two individuals are each fully devoted in their relationship to Jesus Christ. It was essential to both of them that the foundation of their marriage is built on Jesus Christ. They sought and they completed premarital counseling to prepare for this big change in their life's journey. You could also see the foundation of Christ and the steps of preparation throughout the wedding ceremony. There were at least two significant standout moments during their ceremony that struck me. The first of which was a special moment for family prayer. At one point in the ceremony, the couple, together with their immediate family, their parents, their siblings, gathered up front and prayed together. This prayer time was a private moment. It was just among that group as they huddled together around the couple. The rest of us that were in attendance, we just watched in silence. I'm not sure exactly how long this part of the service, but I can tell you it wasn't a quick 30 seconds. They spent a lot of time in prayer because it was their desire to enter the journey of marriage with God. This couple and their family is an excellent example of what we're talking about tonight. Those in attendance could truly feel their motivation and how they were being forever grateful for God's appointment in bringing them together in marriage. And you could see God's work, his hand at work in the past, and even on that day, molding them, continuing to mold them into who he created them to be. Successful journeys begin by following Christ. And I pray and trust that he'll bless them in their marriage and individually as he uses them. The second of which was the insistence by this couple that the gospel of Jesus Christ be given as a part of the wedding ceremony. Their desire was that everyone in attendance would hear what Jesus had done for them. Through his sinless life, his sacrifice on the cross, his death, and his resurrection, they wanted everyone to hear what he did to pay for their sin so that they could be restored into an eternal relationship with God. This couple knows successful journeys begin with Jesus Christ. And if you're here online watching tonight or here and you haven't given your life to Christ, then let tonight be the night where you surrender and you say yes. Let it be the night where you hand over the steering wheel of your life to the one who's prepared the way so that he can begin a work in you, so the potter can get busy changing and molding you into the person he created you to be. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, then just tell him so. Ask him to forgive your sins. Tell him you need him in your life. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Jesus is God's plan so that you can experience his love in your life. He's the only way, and the only thing you need to do is ask him. If tonight you want to do that and you want to talk more about that, I'd love to encourage and pray with you after tonight's service. And if you're still investigating, then I urge you, keep coming, keep listening, keep searching for answers. Westbridge, there are several other journey essentials we can learn from in the life and ministry of Paul, beyond motivation and preparation. For those, you'll have to come back again and join us in the coming weeks. I don't know the details of your lot in life, but God does. God knows because it's the life he entrusted you to live. He entrusted you to live successfully by following Jesus among the circumstances and in the environment in which you've been placed. As the worship team joins me, use this time to talk to God. Is there anything about these two essentials we learned that he's brought to your attention? What's motivating you now, and is there anything that needs to change around that? Anything you want to add? Consider how God's been preparing you. Even now, ask him to understand what's going on. Ask him to reveal more of his plan for your life. And especially ask him what you can do in obedience to follow him, even when the details are unclear into this new journey. Would you stand and sing as we close? Spirit of the living God, speak through us this week. Come into our lives and take over. Whatever's messing with our schedules, whatever has us with anxiety, whatever has us nervous, whatever journey we're on or facing into, show us what you would have us do. Wrap your arms around us. Show us that you love us. Be near. Draw near to us this week, Father. As we leave this place, keep us safe. Successful journeys start by following you. That's what we want to do, Lord. Show us how. Continue to mold us into who you've created us to be. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this night, bringing us together. In your name we ask, amen. Have a great week. See you next week, 7 o'clock.